You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com. Just like to kind of start off talking about, you know, two guys from University of Georgia and Quay and Vate that we are really excited to bring to the Green Bay Packers. They obviously come from a very strong culture at Georgia for a winning program there, and I think they're going to, you know, certainly help our football team. So.
Who are you, and what have you done with Brian Gutekunst? And with that, I'd like to welcome you to a special episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempsis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down night one of the 2022 NFL Draft for our beloved Green Bay Packers. Packers headed into the evening with two selections, one acquired in the Davante Adams trade, and of course their own pick. They had a big, stinking, glaring need at wide receiver. Of course they'll take at least one. And it's a safe bet. They're going to trade up or trade down at some point, right? Sure they will. Of course they will. Nope. Not even close. Goot stayed put at both spots, numbers 2022 and 28 respectively, and addressed the defense with both picks. After drafting Georgia cornerback Eric Stokes in round one last year, Goot goes back down to Athens two more times in the first round Thursday night with the selections of inside linebacker Quay Walker and defensive lineman Devontae Wyatt. I mean, an inside linebacker and a defensive lineman again. Wow. Holy wow. What a changeup from Goot on Thursday. Did not see that coming. Walker and Wyatt, of course, a pair of standouts from the vaunted Georgia Bulldogs defense, the unit that powered Georgia to a national title last season. No truth to the rumor, at least as of now, that Glory Glory or Hail to Georgia will be replacing classic Lambeau Staples roll out the barrel or bang on the drum all day. And also no truth to the rumor that Ugga is now going to be the Packers mascot. Although I'll say, we don't have a mascot, do we? So it would work out well. He's so adorable, isn't he? Ugga is just, wouldn't that be the most adorable mascot? Best mascot in the NFL, I'd say. Before we get into the fun, hope you're having fun already. I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, Lemps, MKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Good time to jump on board and follow. Going to be tweeting all weekend, all through the end of the draft, all the way up to Mr. Irrelevant. You know it. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, oldbagofdonuts@gmail.com. Drop me a line if you want to go old school. I don't know if anybody uses email anymore, but you could. Send me a line. What you're thinking of the draft so far, what you'd like to see him do. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me likey those the most. 4 stars are good too. A comment if it's positive or negative. I've got a great comment on the iTunes page just this week. Thank you to whoever you are, Darth Patron. Whoever you are in real life, maybe that's your real name. Really appreciated that. Appreciated your kind words about the show. We're on Spotify. You can find us by searching for Packers Talk and look for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. Gotta think Vince loved those two picks, huh? Defense, defense. Those are Lombardi guys right there. And we're on the iHeartRadio app, so look for us there. And again, if you're listening on an app or a platform that I don't mention, drop me a line, let me know. I'd love to know. And again, just hit subscribe. Whether it's iTunes, Spotify, whatever the F, just hit subscribe. Then the shit gets delivered right to your phone. And as always, we don't say what's on your phone. Our lips are sealed. Okay, now that we've done got that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about these two picks. Picks. Draft picks. Let's start out with the first of those selections. Quay Walker, inside linebacker, taking a pick 22 in round one. Now, I got to be honest. I was surprised by this pick. I was really hoping it was going to be George Pickens, the wide receiver, also from Georgia. I thought maybe they'd go inside. Now, I will say I thought maybe they'd go inside linebacker because Devin Lloyd from Utah and N'Kobe Dean, Walker's teammate at Georgia, a lot of Georgia stuff going on here, whole lot of Georgia stuff, was also on the board. So I thought maybe they'd do it. Now, it's funny because I said in the preview, if you listen to that, I hope you did, hope you enjoyed it, that I talked about the inside linebacker quandary and that I thought one of those guys, maybe both. I didn't think Lloyd would be there, but I thought Dean would be. I thought there was a chance Lloyd would be. And I was like, man, how great would it be if the Packers took another inside linebacker, huh? Take one of those two studs, pair him up with Campbell. Now you're just locked down in the middle of that defense. But then I was like, well, of course they're never going to do it. I guess I was partially right, hey? Because I don't even know. It's late. But they did go inside linebacker. They just didn't take either of those two players. They did take Walker, and let's talk about him. 6'4", 241 pounds, 21 years old, turns 22 on May 8th. Last season, I do have his stats. Hold on a second. Last season for Georgia, Walker in 13 games, 65 total tackles, 5.5 for loss, 1.5 sacks, 3 passes defended, and 1 fumble recovery. So maybe not eye-popping statistics. Hold on. And what was basically really his only, he only really had the 1 year as a starter at Georgia. So maybe not like huge, huge numbers, certainly compared to guys like Lloyd or Dean. But when you look at Walker, there's a lot to like. Obviously, he's got great size. 6'4", 241, that's incredible. He's a monster. You know, he's just a little bit bigger than Devondre Campbell, who's 6'3", 231. Explosive athlete. Walker is an explosive, explosive athlete. I mean, he's got the RAS score, right? I talked about that on the preview, the relative, I think I called it the relative athlete score. It's actually the relative athletic score, which, as we know, as again I talked about in the preview, that is something Brian Gutekunst puts a premium on, particularly in terms of high picks. They've almost always got a big-time RAS score. Walker, no exception. This is from Kent Lee Platt at MathBomb on Twitter. Walker scored an unofficial 9.66 RAS at the Combine out of a possible 10. This ranked him 76th out of 2,188 linebackers scored from 1987 to 2022. 76th out of 2,188. So, yeah, he's got the score. I mean, that's what you're looking for, right? That's what Goot's looking for in particular. And then this is from Zach Cruz. You all know him from the Packers Wire. Walker had a faster short shuttle and 3-cone time than Eric Stokes. Let that sink in. Elite movement ability. I mean, that's true. And I mean, we all know what kind of athlete Stokes is. So holy shit. I mean, this is big time stuff here we're talking about. So he's got all the raw physical tools. Everything you could ask for, he has. Did I mention he has an 80-inch wingspan? Because, oh yeah, he certainly does. But he is more than that, right? He's a violent tackler. He can really lay the wood. But he's also a sure tackler. How sure? He had the third highest tackling grade in college football per Pro Football Focus last year at 90.6. Third highest. 66 total tackles. Now, the page I looked at said 65, 65, 66, tomato, tomato. 66 total tackles, and he only missed 3. Again, that's per Pro Football Focus. So he's not one of these guys that whiffs on the sure tackle because he's trying to really deliver a shot, you know? Because that can sometimes be a thing, especially with college guys. They're so focused on making the big hit, the highlight reel hit. This is not Walker's, not that guy, you know? He's a sure tackler. And as we know already, Campbell, also an incredibly sure tackler at the NFL level. So the Packers have two of these guys? The idea that they could have two of these guys in the middle of that defense? Wow. That's exciting, you know? Can Walker cover? You bet. According to Pro Football Focus's college wing, he allowed 0 touchdowns and 548 career coverage snaps. And that's impressive. And when you watch him in coverage, he looks very fluid, very comfortable, very natural covering running backs and tight ends. Again, very similar to Campbell in that regard. Also, Walker, a high motor guy, doesn't take plays off. You love that. This dude goes hard at all times. Love it. So that's the good with Walker. Now, There are some things he needs to work on, of course. The biggest thing I think, I don't think it's any one particular thing. Just kind of honing his overall skills, his overall awareness, you know? Awareness, sharpening his football IQ, you know? Again, because he only had the 1 year of real actual playing time at Georgia. 1 year of being a starter. So there is some rawness there, and that you can see that at times when you watch him. That also shows up, I think, in his struggles at times disengaging from blocks. As one scouting report I read said, I thought said best, he sometimes, quote, gets caught up in the trash, end quote. Thought that was very apt with Walker. And while his raw tools have helped him show promise as a pass rusher, as a blitzer, probably needs some more work there. But man, overall, there is so much to like about this pick. So much. We all know, because you know what's funny? At first, I'll be honest, I was a little underwhelmed. You know? When they said Quay Walker, I was like, wait, what? They took an inside linebacker not named Devin Lloyd or N'Kobe Dean? They didn't take Walker's teammate? I mean, Dean was obviously, you know, the splashier player, the more well-known player. So with those guys on the board, taking Walker was definitely, I felt a little underwhelmed. A little surprised, even though I will say, I had read some stuff this week about Walker kind of rocketing as a real late riser up draft boards. I can't remember who it was. I was reading someone saying they thought he had a chance to be the first inside linebacker taken. But, you know, you read that and you go, well, yeah, but with Lloyd and Dean there, there's, come on, that's not going to happen. Well, that ended up happening. So, yeah, there's a lot to like about the pick. Again, it was one of those, my knee-jerk reaction was feeling a little underwhelmed. It felt like maybe a reach. But the more I thought about it and the more I kind of studied up on Walker and remembered what I had seen already about, you know, watching Walker, I kind of started to really come around. And now I quite like the pick. And think about this. We all know Joe Barry can work wonders with linebackers. It's actually perhaps his best trait as a coach. So when you give a guy like Barry a raw ball of clay like Walker, I mean, think of the possibilities. You have to be excited about that. He's a clear upgrade over Chris Barnes. I thought Chris Barnes played better last year. But, I mean, Walker is just far and away an upgrade over Barnes, I think. And here's what's really exciting. Because, again, I talked about this in the preview. The Packers now potentially have two stud inside linebackers. Two. And think about the defenses that have given Green Bay fits in recent years, right? Again, go back to the San Francisco teams when Harbaugh was the coach. Those defenses gave Rodgers problems. And a big reason was that they had Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman manning the middle of the defense. Think of all the things the Niners did with those two, you know? Dropped them both in coverage, you know? Had them both cover one side of the field. You know, they would blitz them both, or they'd show blitz and have one blitz and have one stay back. There were so many things they could do, and they just really handcuffed the Packers in large part because of those two. And then think now more recently, think about Tampa Bay in 2020. Beat the Packers twice, obviously beat them in the NFC Championship game. A big reason was that defense, and a big part of that defense was having Lavonte David and Devin White in the middle of that defense. Two stud inside linebackers gave the Packers fits. They had there were so many looks they could show Green Bay, so many things they could do, mixing and, you know, lining those guys up. It was really impressive. The Packers may have the ability to do that now. Gutekunst even said in his presser after the picks had been made that they really, let me pull up the exact quote here because I don't want to get it wrong. Hold on. I do have that. Hold on a second here. It's from Tom Silverstein, Packers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Green Bay Packers beat reporter. He tweeted this. Gutekunst said Quay was someone who they identified early on in the scouting process and liked him a lot. He said they haven't been able to play with two inside linebackers a lot. Hold on. What is going on here? He said they haven't been able to play with two inside linebackers a lot given their personnel, and they feel they can play that package more now. So Gutekunst basically said now they've got the ability to do something new with these two guys. I mean, how exciting is that? You know? And if you're looking, you know, in the Packers, they get a lot of shit for this, but they do tend to be a team that drafts for the future. And Walker, I mean, Campbell's already in his late 20s. I can't remember. How old is Devondre Campbell? That's something I should know because he's a fellow Gopher. Oop. Is my internet down? What the hell? Anyways, so looks like my internet's down. But Campbell, you know, he's not going to be around forever. So the idea that they can have a kick-ass pair of inside guys now and in Walker, a guy who can be there in the long term, again, this is all incredibly, if you can't tell, I'm incredibly excited about all of this. It's great stuff. We move on now to the second and final pick of the evening. Again, defensive lineman Devontae Wyatt. Now, I really thought they were going to go wide receiver here. They didn't at 22. I'm like, okay, they're keeping the pick at 28. They got to go wide receiver here. It's a must, right? Again, really thought, now, here's where they're going to stop screwing around. They're going to take Pickens, lock up one wide receiver spot. Off we go. Because, of course, if you listen to the preview and you follow me on Twitter, you know I love me some George Pickens. On the preview, I talked about UConn's Travis Jones, the mammoth defensive lineman. I thought he might be an option at this spot. Thought he'd be a nice selection at 28. So I was at least kind of right? They did go defensive lineman. Do I get some credit for that? Probably not. Of course, totally wrong on the player. So let's talk about Wyatt now. 6'3", 304 pounds, already 24 years old, just turned 24 back in late March. He was a community college guy for a year, because he apparently needed to work on his grades before being D1 eligible. So that's the reason for the advanced age. Last year, big year for Georgia last season. Devontae Wyatt, 13 games, 39 tackles, 7 sacks. Or excuse me, 39 tackles, 7 and... that's late. 39 tackles, 7 for loss, 2.5 sacks, 1 pass defended, 1 fumble recovery, 2 fumbles forced. Again, as always, the stats only tell part of the story. His 89.8 overall Pro Football Focus grade last year landed him at the very top. That's right, the tippy top, first overall among all Power 5 defensive linemen. Love that. Like Walker, Wyatt is an explosive football player. Great athlete for someone his size. Lamps, I bet he's got a great RAS score too, doesn't he? You bet your ass he does. This is again from Kent Lee Platt at Math Bomb. Devontae Wyatt scored an unofficial 9.63 RAS at the combine out of a possible 10. This ranked 50th out of 1,325 defensive tackles from 1987 to 2002. 50th out of 1,325, well over 9. You knew Brian Gutekunst would love that. This is a Brian Gutekunst type of guy in that regard, isn't he? He is, I mean, Wyatt, when you watch, I mean, he's the kid's dynamite off the line. You know, he can really get into the backfield and wreak havoc. Wow. And that's in terms of both stopping the run and getting after the quarterback. He's not a one-note guy. He can rush your passer and play the run, which, I mean, you got to love that. Good side-to-side quickness, too. That's something that really jumps out when you watch him, when you study him, especially for a big fella. His motor, like Walker, constantly runs hot. This dude does not take plays off. The effort is there constantly. Reminds me a little of Kenny Clark in that respect. Don't want to compare him too much to Kenny because Kenny's an elite NFL player. But in that respect, I think they are similar. You know, and I love how he closes on guys, right? He gets a quarterback. You watch, he gets a quarterback or a running back in that phone booth area with him. And I mean, it's almost always game over for that quarterback or running back. He doesn't miss. He closes. Closers close, you know? Now, there are some negatives, of course. He needs to get better with his hands. That's kind of the one thing you see over and over when researching him, when you see he struggles. And like Walker, Wyatt, I think, needs to be more consistent, disengaging from blocks. But man, you put him in a room with Kenny Clark, and that should really help him in those areas. Who's better than Kenny at hand usage? Hand fighting, getting off blocks. Not many guys. You know, not many players are better, if any. Wyatt, I really think he's going to learn so much from Kenny. I truly believe that. And yes, the elephant in the room. There are apparently some off-field issues with Wyatt. Got to be honest here, I was not even aware of them until after he was selected. And since I don't really know all the specifics, I don't want to discuss that too much until I know more about it. Imagine that, someone wanting to know more about what they're talking about before they speak, right? Kind of a rarity these days. I will say this. As far as draft picks having... I don't want to get serious here for a minute. As far as draft picks having off-field issues or rests or whatever, I tend to be of the mindset that, hey, whatever you did before, you did before. You're coming in to Green Bay with a clean slate. It's day one here. Now, if that player fucks up again, that's going to be a huge problem. But as of now, again, day one, the slate is clean. That's not at all excusing things a kid may have done in the past. But I tend to be, you know, let's look forward. You know, leave the past in the past. That's just me. And weirdly, you know, the age thing, Wyatt being 24 already, I got to be honest, that doesn't really bother me. It was a big reason why I didn't give him more serious consideration when I was putting together the preview show as a guy Green Bay might pick. Because I thought, well, they're never going to take a 24-year-old defensive lineman, even though I liked him. But yeah, him being 24 doesn't really bother me, you know? You're still, look, if everything works out, if this pick pans out and he's a big-time player, you're still looking at 6 years of production before he enters his age 30 season. That's a long way down the road. 6 years from now is a long time. So him being 24, you know, to hear some people say, you think he's got like 2 years left before he's going to be washed out or whatever. It's like, he's got more time than that. Everybody calm down. So yeah, two picks, both targeting the front seven, something I said in the preview I thought they needed to do early in the draft. Some combo of D-line, inside linebacker, edge. I didn't think they would use both picks on that in the first round, but they did. Haven't gotten the edge rusher yet, though I suspect they're going to perhaps as early as tomorrow, or I should say later today, because it's already after 1 a.m., holy shit, as early as tomorrow for rounds 2 and 3, I think they will, because I still think they need a third guy there behind Preston and Rashawn Gary. So let's talk, now we're going to talk about wide receivers. Yes, they did not take one. Yes, that's a bit of a bummer. Yes, some people are on the ledge. I'm going to try to talk you back. Okay? Let Lemps here talk you off the ledge. It's kind of a bummer, but it made sense. They were in a weird spot. They didn't really have the ammo to move up into that range where Chris Olave and Williams from Alabama went. I mean, I guess they did. Oop, burp, got to keep it real. We're keeping it real here at 1:05 a.m. They did, but in doing so, it would have really hindered Green Bay's ability to bolster some other areas that, frankly, need bolstering. You know? Sure, they had the ammo to move up from, I don't remember, where did Olave go? 10th? Was it 10th? 10th or 11th? Yes, they could have packed, they could have moved up using some combination of like a second round pick or like a second and a third or their other first round. I mean, yes, they could have done that. Sure. They had the ammo. But to do so would have cost them a shot at a good player further on in the draft. Do you know what I'm saying? So say they say, oh, we want to take Olave and we're going to give you a 2 and a 4 to do it. Yeah, that would have been enough. Absolutely. But now you're costing yourself a shot at a good player in the second round who could help you, and a good player in the fourth round who could help you. That, to me, giving up that is not worth what a guy like Olave, even though I like Olave and I like Williams, even coming off the torn ACL, I like those guys. Like them a lot. I don't, especially in Olave's case. I'm not sure what they bring to the table is worth giving up those other players down the line. You know what I'm saying? It didn't make sense to me. And then by the time they got to 22 and 28, you know, I guess they just didn't value Pickens as much as I do. So, and some other people. Here's the thing. You don't need a superstar wide receiver to win a Super Bowl. Why do people think this? When did this enter the thing? When did this enter everybody's thinking? Because of what Cooper Kupp did last year? It's just, you know, you don't need a super... Hell, you don't even really need that many superstars, period, to win a Super Bowl. I was talking about this on Twitter today. The team that wins the Super Bowl is usually the deepest and most diverse in terms of talent at a lot of areas. In a lot of areas. Do you know what I mean? Think about the 96 Packers, one of the greatest single-season teams in NFL history. They had 3 elite players. Right? Brett Favre, Reggie White, Leroy Butler. Who's now in the Hall of Fame. God damn, I love saying that. 3. And what was the rest of the team? It was just a bunch of solid to good to really good players. Think about the Patriots teams. The first batch of Patriots, the team that won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. They really only had, three elite players. Brady, Richard Seymour, and Ty Law. Again, the roster was then filled out with good to really good players. That's, to me, that's how I think you should build a championship team. Right? Look at the Packers the last 3 years. Look at how much superstar talent they've had. And what difference has it made? Not much. Not enough. So, you don't need a superstar. Why? You need to be really good everywhere. And you do that by... And I think the Packers are really close to being that type of team. But again, there were a few areas that needed filling out. They need to hang on to these picks. I'm really glad Gutekunst hung on to both picks. Hopefully he does that the rest of the weekend. Maybe even acquires a couple more. Because that's what they need to do. That's how you build a championship team, in my opinion. Right? And I'll tell you one thing. What did the 96 Packers and those Patriots teams, what did they have? What did they also have? Kick-ass defenses. And I really think the Packers have a chance to have such a defense next season. I really do. I think this defense is going to wreck shit. I said that to my wife after they took Wygo. They are going to wreck shit next season. Look at the defensive line now. Look at the rotation. Kenny Clark, Wyatt, Dean Lowry. They added Jerron Reed. Nice one-year option. I think Sutton is in line for a nice little jump in year two. Maybe a guy like Heflin, who showed out in the preseason. Maybe he brings something to the table. That looks like a good defensive line now. Not just Kenny and the Clarkettes, as I've said before on the show. It looks like an actual deep rotation featuring an elite player. Potentially 2 studs at inside linebacker now with Campbell and Walker. Gary and Smith off the edges. 3 deep at corner. Ja, Stokes, Douglas, Amos, Savage at safety. I mean, that has all the makings of a kick-ass defense. Joe Barry in year 2. And now you can say now they're going to have a chance at that because of these 2 picks they made tonight. That's exciting. So I'm glad Gut stayed put again. And look, there's wide receivers left. Let's look ahead now. There's wide receivers left. Pickens is still on the board. Sky Moore, Tolbert from South Alabama, Christian Watson, who scares the shit out of me, but he is there. And of course, my guy Alec Pierce from Cincinnati, all still on the board. The Packers will get, the Packers will get at least 1 tomorrow from that group. Maybe even 2. Yeah. Pierce, I think, for sure is going to be there at the end of the second round, and I think the Packers are going to take him. And if they want to move up, now, I just said a minute ago, I'm hoping Gut keeps the picks, if not, you know, maybe even finds a way to add more tomorrow, which I don't know if he can, but if the Packers did want to move up to get someone like Pickens, well, remember, they have 2 4th-rounders in their back pocket, don't they? Could easily see Green Bay using 1 of those in a trade. Yeah, and that would be to me, a good use of that pick. If someone like Pickens falls, you know, we're 10 picks into round 2 and Pickens is still on the board, I could see Gutekunst moving up. Absolutely. Tolbert, same thing. Yeah, I could see Gutekunst moving up for 1 of those guys. And then staying put and taking Pierce. I feel like it's going to be wide receivers with both picks in the second round, wherever they may fall, for sure. So don't worry. They're going to get a couple of wide receivers again, probably tomorrow, again, later today. Holy shit, later today, I guess. Shit, it's late. You know, I said on the preview and on Twitter right before the draft started Thursday night, the 3 big goals for Green Bay this weekend needed to be adding pass catchers, specifically wide receivers, adding playmakers on defense with a particular focus on the front 7, and replenishing the offensive line depth. Well, you pretty much cross off the second one of those. Done and done on the defensive playmakers part. So now they can shift their focus to the other 2 goals, and I really believe they're going to now. If I were to guess the rest of the weekend, let's say Friday, later today, tomorrow, whatever it is, I really think it's going to be about adding 2 wide receivers and probably, with that 3rd pick, either an edge guy or a tackle, maybe a tight end. Hopefully someone like Jelani Woods is still there in the 3rd round. So if they were to come out of tomorrow with, like, everybody's worried about it now, but if they come out of tomorrow with, let's say, Tolbert from South Alabama, Alec Pierce, and Jelani Woods, now you feel a lot better, don't you? So let's see how tomorrow plays out. I have a good feeling about it. So yeah, that just about wraps up this episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. It is, again, hella late, so I need to get my ass to bed. I hope you all had as much fun listening as I did recording this. Always a blast, but especially so this weekend. As you all know by now, I fucking love the draft. I love it. It's so fun for me. I love the team building aspect of this stuff. It really excites me. It gets me going as a fan. Probably a result of playing too much owner mode on Madden back in the day. That would be my guess anyways. But whatever the reason is, that's how I am, you know? And remember, I'll be back Friday night after day two of the draft to recap that. It will be Saturday morning before you hear it. So keep your eyes and your ears open for that one. And of course, I'll keep you posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemps Talk and Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you. I love you. I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.